Okay, welcome everybody to the By Yahweh's Design Family Chat for Wednesday night, April 10th, year 2024. And that's really about it. I don't really have any intro material. It's a totally open forum here tonight, so I'm just going to leave everybody. We got Jeffrey here now with us. I'll go ahead and unmute him. But I don't really have a topic to sort of introduce everything to it. So we'll start out right off the bat with the open forum. And welcome to the program, Jeffrey. You've got Ella and Cody here with us.
Oh, good. Hi, thank you. Hi. How's everybody?
Oh, we're hanging right, in there.
Good to see you.
Yeah, I'm up here in Idaho. The weather's finally warming up. Now we can almost officially say that spring is here. Today it got up to 60.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's about what Texas is today. It's been very cold and rainy here, but the 60 right now is cold here in Texas.
Yeah, I think we're probably about normal here. It doesn't really get warm until May. You know, we can't plant our gardens till about the middle of May, but I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. Planting time, yes.
I'm actually letting my garden rest this year. I believe it's about the seventh year, so I'm letting mine rest.
Good boy. That's what the Bible says to do.
Right.
I'm just going to plant some tomatoes in some buckets. I got some seeds growing and stuff, so.
Yep. Yeah, every seventh year you fallow your fields. When I was a boy, the farmers used to do that. That was a common practice amongst the Amish and the people in the areas where I grew up. Years later, they sort of abandoned it because everybody became lovers of money more than lovers of following the scripture. So, but at least when I was a young boy, they were honoring the seven-year fallow of the fields.
Jeremiah.
Yep, Jeremiah's with us too. The thing that I've always read is organic farmers that follow the biblical law always said that they ended up with greater abundance even though they let their fields rest for a year. Overall, they had far more produce and better produce than if they had planted seven straight years always. So when the Bible tells us to do something, there's a reason for it. Just most people don't have the faith.
I keep thinking I might be kicking myself in the butt, though. I might need that garden a few months down the road, but I guess I'll just have to stock up in other ways, food-wise. So,
go to the farmer's market.
Yep, there's the farmer's market. There's other things. But the ground, it's for the ground more than anything else, so that the ground can rejuvenate. So you can grow it, like you said. You can put up a vertical tower, a couple vertical towers or buckets, and do stuff like that, and you're not breaking the fallow. The fallow's for that field, so it deserves that seventh year of rest, but you can still grow stuff if you want to grow it some other way or in a different field or whatever. We got John in Miami with us, too. Welcome, John.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, go ahead, Ella.
Yeah, Dan, did you hear that somebody, I don't know if it was you or not, sent us something about a so-called measles epidemic coming along. Did you hear anything about that?
The only thing I heard about that is a few people were talking about it's their guess that the next thing they're going to try to hit us with in the area of some kind of a pandemic is claim that measles is now back with us. But nobody I heard of said anything about measles being a problem right now, no.
Good afternoon. Good evening, everybody. John here. It's great to be here again.
Yep. Welcome,
good afternoon, John.
Welcome.
Yeah, down here in South Florida, we're enjoying probably this is about the fifth or sixth day of near perfect weather. So it's a nice change from the sky lords constantly screwing with our weather. This is more like a normal South Florida winter at the moment. It's just gorgeous, low humidity, sunshine, warm, but not too hot. You sit in the shade with the breezes, and it's cool and dry. It's great.
I'm jealous.
Now, I did see a couple reports today that people think we're on the verge of a major turning in this country. Maybe the world, but definitely here in the United States. There are signs that the general population has had about enough. And in fact, there's even people talking about some of these people need to be arrested and put on trial and executed if found guilty. So I think we're getting closer. Ella's prediction, as well as a few other folks, that 2024, and Jeremiah has too, 2024 could be a pivotal year. I think it's certainly starting to line up that it could very well be. I yield.
I certainly hope something's going to happen because we can't continue the way it's been. Everything is kind of like up in the air. Nothing is certain. You don't know whether one day to the next what's going to happen that day. I have never felt such uncertainty in this world in all the years that I've been living. It's uncanny. It's unsettling. It's disturbing.
It is for, yeah, it's I'm hearing it from everybody. Trust me, you're not alone. I'm hearing it from all age groups, all areas of the country, some folks in the city, some folks in the country. Most of the people that know the truth are country folk. Not too awful many are in big cities, but, you know, everybody's feeling the same things. Which is encouraging, as we talked about. He said, when you see all this craziness going on, look up because your redemption's right around the corner. And that's sort of what some of the content creators were saying today in their broadcasts, that they're seeing indications where regular folk are going to town meetings now and basically calling out the New World Order, calling out city commissioners and county commissioners, calling out school board members for treason and for going along with this whole idiotic New World Order program, and that they, at the very least, they should step down from their offices or be arrested. So I think we are on the verge. We got to keep the heat up, keep the pressure on the enemy. And that's simply by us being stellar people and constantly telling the truth. I yield. Anybody else have anything? Any questions? Anything to report?
I'm just waiting for some of the men to display their manhood now. We've had too many years of women's liberation and all that kind of garbage ruling this country with the idiots in the White House and Congress and all that. I'm waiting for the real men to start standing up and saying, hey, enough of this. Let's get on with life the way it should be, instead of just being taxed to death and our borders opened and trouble and dissension and taxation and businesses closing. All the businesses going overseas, nobody has work. The GIs that are leaving the service are ending up sleeping underneath bridges. It's totally ridiculous. It shouldn't be this way, and I don't know why more people aren't just standing up and putting a direct halt to it. Because I even hear that there are politicians that are buying land in South American countries and everything to bail out because they're expecting something horrendous to come lately. I'll yield.
Yeah, there was a couple reports about that. Some of these state and federal politicians are buying land in Central and South America with countries that do not have extradition agreements with the United States, because they know that any day they could get the call to head out of the country and go there and escape being put on trial for their crimes. But we have ways to get to them without going through the normal processes. So they may think they're going to escape judgment, but Scripture says that they'll hide even amongst the rocks, but it won't do them any good. So they can think they're going to run and hide and get away from being judged, but nope. Everybody is held accountable. That's one thing the Scripture is very, very plain about. You do not get to do anything on paper or by moving or whatever to get out of being responsible for your crimes. No, judgment will come. Can you, are you with us there, Jeremiah, or are you still muted? I guess he's just listening. He might be driving. He doesn't like to talk when he's driving because he works at night, so he's probably just listening in. I know a lot of food growers, since we're talking about foods, there's more and more information coming out about the mainstream producers, whether it's beef or vegetables or fruits or whatever, going along with the New World Order and injecting the foods at the factories, even the organics. If it comes from one of these big outfits, even the organics and the non-GMOs, putting poisons in them. So once again, something we've talked about here for decades is we need to get back to family farms and supporting local farmers like farmers markets and ranchers that are doing it right. We're fortunate here in Central Florida. There's some really big ranches and farms that are 100% organic, non-GMO, and they will not go along with the crowd. They're not going to contaminate their food. But you got to seek these people out. You got to verify, because you can't just take it for granted that they're going to honor the tradition of doing it right and continue to do so, because the Jew will go in there and either offer them a whole lot of money to do it wrong, or they'll try to get the legal system to go after them and make them do it wrong. So they're under a lot of pressure. So, again, another reason why the people that are willing to fight and do it right, we need to support them. So even if it means you're going to have to get shrunk down to a lot fewer things that you eat, at least what you're eating is real food, just like the Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were taken captive, they were the healthiest because they did not eat the king's food, but they stuck to the food laws of Yahweh, and they were the healthiest people on the block. Okay, we got, I don't know, it just says John. Welcome, John.
Oh, Dan? Just want to mention, too, that there's many places out there now that are encouraging buying silver and gold and that stuff if the CBDCs come in and all that. But my advice to them would be, you can't eat gold and silver. I think if anybody has any extra money in the bank or they want to secure things, the best thing to do would buy non-GMO seeds to grow food and stock up on those things, because if you have ground, you can plant them, and at least a few months later, you get something to eat. But if you stock up on gold and silver, you can't eat it.
Well, everybody that I know of says diversify. So if you've got a stash of money sitting somewhere, you might want to get some gold and silver. But that's only after you've done like what you're saying. Make sure you got all the tools that you need, all the herbs and medicines you need, seeds to grow with, etc. You got to get all that strained out first. Then if you still got some left over, then sure, why not? Invest a little bit in Bitcoin. It's not going to kill you. Invest in gold and silver. But you can only do that after you've taken care of all the basics and done it the right way. Jeremiah, you got your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess there's a few things I can add from listening in. One point that I'd like to add, because when you mentioned about how some of these politicians are buying land and homes in other countries to try to basically run and hide, true, God did say that they'll even ask the rocks to fall upon them to hide, and there's nowhere they can hide. But one method, and this is what I could definitely see happening, is if there is ever a real and justified revolution and we take control, no other country on earth would ever want to go to war with us to where we could just say, hey, bring them back to us or we're going to get them with our military. The country's going to say, oh, hell no, here's your politician, we don't want none of that.
Yeah, exactly right. That's what I mean. They may have some sort of agreement right now, but those things can change quickly. So, you know, let them think they can run and hide and have some sort of agreement. That's okay. like you said, if we send our troops down saying, you know, you either turn these criminals over to us or we're going to invade and get them anyway, they're going to get turned over. I mean, besides, nobody likes these people. Once their money system has been destroyed, which is exactly what Revelation says is going to happen, all of their power is going to go away. So, you know, these people are generally scumbags, okay? So people don't actually like them. They like their money, but they don't like them as people. So once their money becomes worthless, who in his right mind is going to support them? But, you know, if they want to think that, let them think that. You still have your hand up, by the way, Jeremiah, just in case you didn't know that. But anybody that wants to use that feature, it's under that little thumbs up there. It says reactions. You can click on that, and it gives you a couple options. One of them is to raise or lower a hand if you want to make a statement or something during a meeting. So,
but what about on a phone? Star 6.
I think, yeah, Jeremiah is on a phone. So, Jeremiah, what do you do to raise your hand on a phone? You have to unmute yourself. Did we lose you? Who else?
If you're on the phone, just say, excuse me. When I had to call in, when my computer didn't work, I couldn't see anything there to raise my hand, so I do as I usually do, I butt in. Not polite, but it gets me there.
Well, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
I'm not necessarily on the phone. I'm using my phone, but I go through the link for the computer. So I don't call in. I use the app. So I'm not technically calling in using the phone. I use the app on my phone. And for me, I just click on these three dots, and they give me these emojis, and one of the emojis is the hand sign.
Oh, okay. And what about when you want to mute?
I click on a little microphone by my name and either mute or unmute.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. Thank you.
All right.
So what I did is I just went to your website by Yahweh's Design and scrolled down and see the upcoming conference calls, and there's a telephone number there with an access code number. That's what I did, and then I think there was a recording that came on that said if you had a question, punch in *6.
Okay.
But I haven't tried that.
Yeah. I know *6 does something.
Jeffrey's right.
Yeah. *6 is either the hands up and down or mute, unmute. I can't remember which one it is. But if you go to the tutorials, now on that same webpage, on my website where you see the schedule, there are listed up at the top there some tutorials, and they go through using the computer and the phone for making free conference call meetings. and how you can do things like everybody's talking about here, how you can lock the meeting, how you can raise and lower hands, how you can show other emojis, how you can mute, unmute, etc. If it's a video conference, how you can turn on and off the video. But those little tutorial videos are very, very helpful for that. So,
Okay.
Yeah, they'll answer a lot of your questions. But so the only ones that people use the most are the mute and the unmute and raise and lowering hands. Other than that, you really don't need much of anything else. So, I mean, if you're on the computer, it's really easy because you got your video and microphone in the lower left. You just click on them to start, stop them, and then in the middle of the screen at the bottom is that section that says reactions, and that gives you all your hands up and down, or if you just want to give a thumbs up that you agree with something or vote yes or whatever. So there's a learning curve to everything, but free conference calls relatively simple and makes a nice platform for what we're trying to do here, which is just basically come together as like-minded folks and share information and learn what's going on and then help each other survive this insane dystopic world that we've become. It's just unbelievable. Hi, Yil.
I wanted to say that this...
Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that this war that's going on in the Middle East with Israel and Gaza, that whole issue has caused a lot of people's eyes to be opened as to just how demonic the Jews really are. I mean, there's a lot of podcasters out there right now that are talking about how these Zionist Jews are just absolutely ruthless, butchering people. And they're being exposed right now in a way that hasn't been here for a while. Like Mike Adams, this Health Ranger guy, I've listened to him for a little bit here and there, and he's really been awakened to who these Zionist Jews are now. And I think a lot of people now are understanding just how much power and influence the Zionist Jews have in the American government. I mean, I think of this old congressman from Ohio. He passed away about 5-6 years ago, but his name was James Traficant. He tried to warn the American people about the tremendous power and influence the Israel lobby and the state Zionist Jewish state of Israel have in our Congress. I mean, he was on Fox News. He was interviewed by Sean Hannity. If you haven't seen that interview, you need to look at it. But Traficant came right out on the news, on Fox News, tried every way in the world to tell Sean Hannity that Congress is influenced powerfully by the Jewish lobby and by the Jews. And, of course, Sean Hannity, you know, wouldn't accept it at all. And then he was also interviewed by another Fox News host, Greta Van Susteren, and pretty much told her the same thing. And I don't know if anybody remembers it, but just before James Traficant died, and he died at home, they claimed that his tractor tipped over and fell on him and crushed him to death. Accidental. Wow. But I know, right? But he was going to run for president of the United States as a Democrat, and he would have been running in the primaries against Hillary Clinton. This is back when Clinton was running against Trump, I guess, would have been 2015, just before the 2016 election. And he was getting his campaign ready and everything, and he died. Tractor tipped over on him on his farm. But what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of people that are waking up to the fact that our government, even these conservative states like Idaho, is very conservative. But both of our senators, Jim Risch and Mike Crapo, are totally Zionist-controlled puppets. You know, and you go down in Texas, look at Texas. One of their senators, Ted Cruz, I don't know who the other one is, but these guys are all Zionist controlled. They get their money, their campaign money and financing through the Israeli lobby, AIPAC. And they do exactly what AIPAC wants them to do.
It's not just the lobby either. It's the fact that most of the Congress are dual citizens with Israel and America.
A lot of them are. That's right. That's right.
It's also come out recently how many people in Washington do not have an oath of office.
I've seen that.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's a law. So somebody holding office and going through the daily routines as a public servant who has not taken an oath of office is actually a criminal, and they are operating under the color of law, which is a form of treason. That's how serious it is. And most of the key players in Washington have not done that. They are guilty of treason. They could be arrested by the provost marshal, military arrest, put in front of a tribunal, and hung for treason. That's how serious it is.
Yeah.
Because the Founding Fathers made it clear, you cannot be a public servant without an oath of office. You can't. You can't.
No.
People say, well, they just didn't. No, you can't. You can't hold office unless you take the oath of office. That's ludicrous for anybody to try to dismiss it as if it's all just an oversight. No, you're not actually authorized to be a public servant, meaning everything they did in office is null and void, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah,
most of it's bad, which is actually to our benefit. So anything they signed, any testimony they give is null and void. And then they can be arrested for treason, for malfeasance, and for operating under the color of law, again, which is a form of treason. So we've got way more than we need to bring these people to heel. We just need people with guts enough to do it.
Yeah, they need to be prosecuted in the court of law. And it's pretty clear to everybody right now that the Zionist state of Israel has nuclear weapons. They stole our nuclear technology clear back in the Kennedy administration. They stole it, and they have nuclear weapons. Jimmy Carter's come out publicly said they had nuclear weapons. Pat Buchanan's come out said they have nuclear weapons. Colin Powell, a general in the army just before he died, on his deathbed, said that Israel has nuclear weapons. Everybody knows they have nuclear weapons, but they will not admit to it. And the reason they won't admit to it is because we have laws on our books in this country. It's called the Symington-Glenn Act. And any country that has nuclear weapons and refuses to sign the Nuclear Proliferation Agreement to open their facilities up for, which would open their facilities up to inspections, any nation that refuses to do that, we as a country are not supposed to give them any weapons or any money, any funding. It's against the law. But they do it all the time. Congress passes bills and sends Israel billions of dollars every year.
Right.
And it's illegal.
Right. Ella's got her hand up. Go ahead, Ella.
Okay, I'll remove it. So, okay, on nuclear weapons, I think I'll come out and really cause a stir here. I'm 81 years old, and during my lifetime, I never, never seen a nuclear weapon go off, ever. I think nuclear weapons are a farce. They are there to scare us. Hiroshima and Nagasaki were not nuked. They were carpet bombed with fire bombs. And the land was built on directly after that. There's no nuclear fallout. All those islands that they set off nuclear weapons in, it was TNT and dynamite that was used in those. I've seen the videos. I've seen the proof, but I have never, ever seen a nuclear weapon in my lifetime. I have no fear of them because I think they're a hoax.
I was going to say that there's some kind of weapon that I don't know if you could call it nuclear or not, but it's a weapon with a massive explosion that's very deadly, and that could level a city like New York.
Yeah, there's direct energy weapons like the Twin Towers were brought down with some of those, and all those fires in California that were started with direct energy weapons. They have all kinds of technology that we know nothing about. Microwave technology. They have machines that can cause people to have hearts. They have machines that can make you hear things in your head. They have machines that can blow your eardrums out, stop your heart, stop your blood from flowing through your body. They have injections that can walk by you and make it simulate a heart attack. They can have a lot of stuff that can do a lot of damage. But you know something? The nuclear weapon is supposed to be manufactured by splitting the atom. There is no such thing as splitting the atom. It's never been proved to ever have happened. I don't know. And all those bombs that they have had, neutron bombs and all that kind of thing, I have never seen any of those go off either. How much of them are scare tactics for us? Distractions to make us look at things while they are doing something else. So I think if we're putting our fear in nuclear weapon threats, I think we're putting our fear in the wrong place. I'll yield.
I don't fear nuclear weapons, but they have bombs that can be delivered from planes and from land launchers that can devastate cities. And even though nuclear, Hiroshima was rebuilt, and that was Nagasaki. Someone else talking?
Wait a minute. Rules are when somebody's talking, everybody waits till the person's done, all right? Jeff's got the floor. Jeff, finish what you're saying, then yield, and then somebody else can talk.
Yeah, I don't think that these bombs that they have, like they used on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I don't think they're nuclear in the sense that they cause all kinds of radiation that destroys the area for hundreds, if not thousands of years, because we know for a fact that those two cities have been rebuilt. But they probably didn't have directed energy weapons back then in the 40s. I don't know. Maybe they did. I know they had airplanes, and I know they had a way to put the bombs on an airplane and fly it over a city and drop it and cause massive destruction. They had that. We know that for a fact. And we know that they do have nuclear power plants. They don't have electrical power cords going to these power plants, and they're not getting their power from a dam up the river. Something's generating power there.
I worked a whole career in nuclear power plants, so I know a thing or two about them.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. All you know is that they put these things called fuel rods in the reactor building, and they set off a chain reaction with whatever's in those fuel rods, and we're told it's uranium. So, and it produces tremendous amounts of heat. In fact, a nuclear reactor produces 3 times the thermal megawatts that the electrical megawatt output is, because they're only 33% efficient. So if you've got a 1,000 megawatt generator, that reactor is putting out 3,000 megawatts of thermal energy to produce it. So what is actually happening? Nobody knows. I mean, unless you can see things that are invisible to the eye. I do know that they put in control rods and they put in fuel, and we did not have to stop producing electricity for 1.5 to 2 years. So that part of it I can attest to, because I was in the plants and I worked on the reactors during the outages. So I know for a fact that whatever technology was running that reactor could go for 1 to 2 years without refueling. So, and we were told it was nuclear. I have no way to prove it wasn't. I do know whatever it was, it worked, because the plants, you know, and I've worked in 14 different nuclear power plants in the United States. And they all work basically the same way. Some are boiling water reactors and some are pressurized water reactors. Slight differences, but the nuclear reactor part is essentially the same. Once you start the chain reaction, it's a fissionable material that produces tremendous amounts of heat in a very small space. Your nuclear submarines work off the same principle, because the fuel rods are only 3% enriched in a power plant, but in a submarine or a battleship or an aircraft carrier, the enrichment is 97%. So that means you've crammed a whole lot of fissionable material into a very small control rod and fuel rod. So their reactors are very small and yet produce tremendous amounts of power. So whatever that technology is, whether you want to call it nuclear or not, is there. But as far as a bomb is concerned, I would agree with Ella that I personally, even though in the United States Air Force, I saw them load B-52 bombers with nuclear, so-called nuclear bombs. Each of our alert planes had 4 nuclear bombs in each plane. But to be honest with you, I didn't see anything different about them than a conventional bomb. Nothing at all. So were they actually nuclear bombs? How would anybody know? We never dropped one. All we did was put them on alert and put them in there, because personally, my opinion is it's a scare tactic. Every person you mentioned that says that they have nuclear bomb technology is a pro-Zionist person. So if the Zionists want the world to be fearful of them attacking us with nuclear weapons, then of course they're going to agree. But again, this is all speculation on all our parts, because none of us have access to prove it. We can't get into facilities and we're not scientists. And like I said, I worked in nuclear power plants my whole career, and I've never taken a fuel rod apart. I've never taken one of the fuel pellets apart. I have no idea what's in there. I just know what they told us was in there. And whatever it was, it worked. I can tell you that much. And we had Geiger counters when we went in to work on the plant. We took Geiger counters with us, because when the plant's at power, you have to be careful where you go, because you could step into a stream. And if you stepped into the wrong stream, you had very little time to get out of there before you're going to be dead. I can tell you that's a fact. So, again, a lot of this is speculation when it comes to bomb material. Is there such a thing as nuclear fission? I would have to say yes, because of the industry I've worked in. But is that capable of being turned into a bomb? That is something that's debatable. because I agree with the other people that Nagasaki and Hiroshima look exactly like Dresden, Germany, and all the other cities of Germany that were firebombed. It looks exactly the same. And the fact that none of these cities, none of these places that supposedly were nuked show any signs of nuclear fallout. None of them do.
Mm-mm.
So that's why I doubt them. Jeremiah, you got your hand up. Go ahead. Jeremiah.
Yeah, I was just going to add some things regarding nuclear. One, I don't believe in nuclear weapons is what they tell us, because according to them, between just America and Russia, supposedly there's more than enough nuclear weapons that could destroy the whole world. I do not see where we can humanly possible to build a weapon between just two countries that could destroy the entire world. That's more of those numbers and stuff that you cannot comprehend, because it's so huge and large that you have to just assume it's BS. The other thing is, if you look at all the countries that have nuclear weapons, they're all under Zionist control. But there are certain countries who are, quote, not allowed nuclear weapons. They're not under Zionist control. So why are they not allowed nuclear weapons? Probably because if they start to research it and try to figure it out, they'll realize, oh, there's no way to actually make a nuclear weapon, so everyone who's saying they have them is lying to us.
Well, the main thing to remember is there's a quote that I've been sending around for a long time now that says that the main objective of government is, and the main tool of government to control the people is fear. So whenever there's things being put out there that create fear, it's typically government agencies doing it, because a population that's afraid is easily controllable. Okay, so that's my biggest thing. Is I was during Vietnam, I was in the Air Force. Almost everything they told us was a lie. I get out and I go into nuclear power. Almost everything they tell the public's a lie. You know, I read newspapers about my son being stabbed on a school bus. Everything they said was a lie or misrepresented. You know, everything I have personal knowledge of, the media and the public were lied to about. Okay, almost everything. Then we find out that everything they told us in schools, all the way up through universities and colleges, was a lie. Other than basic math and things like that. But as soon as you get into anything political or subjective, they lied about everything. So that creates the idea on our part, anyway, to be very, very skeptical of anything they report, especially if it comes from any of the voices that are associated with the deep state or the New World Order. Okay, they haven't told us the truth about anything, and they do have a vested interest in keeping us afraid. That is a fact. Ella, go ahead. You have your hand up.
Yeah, I'll put it down first here. Okay, there's something that everybody can look up if they want to. I've seen this video many times over the past 30 years. It's a video by Galen Windsor, I think it is his name. It's a man that proves that radioactivity cannot hurt you. It cannot kill you. You know, they have movies that say that have radioactive fallout, and they have these hazmat suits on and Geiger counters, and saying that if your radiation level goes up for a certain amount and you get it on your skin or you swallow it or something, you're going to die. You're going to rot out from the inside out. Well, as Galen Windsor proved with a Geiger counter and active uranium and nuclear materials that were in his hand, and then he licked them off his hand with his tongue with no after effects. He's been doing that for 30 years, and radioactivity has not touched him, not killed him, and not made him sick. So again, that's another fear factor. If they drop a bomb that gets radioactive, it's going to kill everything and everybody around us. No, it's not. It's all fear. I'll yield.
Well, one thing...
I've seen that. Go ahead.
Yeah, the one thing we have to remember is we live with radiation every single day. Every one of us does, okay? If you get any sunshine on you at all, you're being irradiated. If you fly in a plane, you're getting very strong radiation from the sun. If you go by any kind of a coal mine or coal field or a power plant that burns coal, coal puts off radiation. A nuclear power plant puts off radiation. Certain stones and rocks like granite put off radiation. So your body is subjected to bombardment of radiation every day of your life. Okay, now what they used to tell us is that because it's such a low dose, that's why you don't feel any effects or you don't die from it, et cetera, et cetera. But who knows if that was true, because again, they've lied to us about almost everything. So, you know, we got to put our heads together and come up with some common sense answers for a lot of these things, because the so-called trusted voices have proven that they are nothing but political liars. I yield. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Oh, I think I've seen that Ella was talking about. I've seen that guy. He used to work. He worked with it, and he said that they were where he worked at the plant they worked in. They were when they transferred the plutonium or uranium from one area to another, they were supposed to have it in these sealed containers and everything. And he talked like, well, I just put it in my pocket and walked right down the hallway with it. And then there, I was also going to add that there's this guy, a podcaster out there. His name is Jim Brizzoli. You probably heard of him, Dan.
Yeah, I know.
He has this guy on all the time called Fake Nuke Phil. And he goes into stuff about that too, just about what we're talking about.
Right.
Very interesting. I yield.
Let's see a fact.
Right. Well, the main thing is, as children of the Father, our job is to not be fearful of anything, because first of all, the scripture says no weapon formed against us will prevail. So if you have faith and if you're in his camp, then I don't really don't care what they claim to have. I'm not going to be afraid of it. I'm not afraid of them, not afraid of their weapons, not afraid of dying, none of that. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to go be as truthful as I can be and help mankind as much as I can and do everything I can to make this world a better place than when I came into it. That's my goal every day of my life. And I really don't care what the enemy's doing. I believe in watching them. I think anytime your enemy is close, you want to be cognizant of what they're up to. But as far as being afraid of them, no. I don't think that's our job. Our job is to stay faithful and stay strong and be brave. And our greatest weapon against them is telling the truth. They can't handle that. That just drives them crazy. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
That's a good one to bring up, because that was something else I was going to mention for why I don't believe in nuclear weapons. They're nowhere in the Bible. Not one area speaks of nuclear weapons. Now, there's only one or two in the entire Bible, two verses in Revelation that people misquote or misinterpret to mean nuclear weapons. But when you actually read the verse, there is no way you should be interpreting it as a nuclear weapon.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, that's the other thing we've got. So, you know, we have scripture on our side. We have the fact that they're liars about everything on our side. And you can't trust anything that they put out there. I mean, come on. They want you to believe they put a lunar lander on the moon with men up there, and they marched around and they brought them back successfully. And everybody, as far as I know, everybody understands that is a complete fabricated story from start to finish. It was done on a studio set a movie set. They haven't been outside the firmament. They're not going to get outside the firmament. It's just ludicrous. Everything they've told us is ludicrous if you take the blinders off and look at what they're actually telling you. And if you do any investigation, they are profligate liars, which is exactly what Christ said of them. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their hypocrisy. Well, a hypocrite is a liar because he's going to tell you one thing when he believes something completely different. Well, that's a Jew, okay? A Jew by nature is a hypocrite because he's always going to tell you something false when he actually knows something else is the truth. So they are liars and hypocrites, just like Christ said, and that's why they hated him. That's why they hate us. They don't hate the people going to church because they're meaningless. The people in these churches are meaningless. When he said they'll hate you for my sake, he meant truth tellers, not people that call themselves Christian and attend a mainstream church. They're a threat to nobody. I mean, look at the last 4 years. They've proven the fact that the churches are impotent, okay? What those verses are talking about are you and me, okay? People that actually love the Father, believe everything that it says about him, everything the Holy Spirit tells us, and we tell the truth. We always dig for the truth. They can't handle that. They hate that. You're supposed to just believe their bullshit stories and do what they tell you to do. I yield. Somebody else got anything?
Yeah, I'll say if you look at the moon, if you're looking at the moon at night with the stars out and the moon is like a quarter moon or a half moon or something, you can see the stars right through it. And the moon is not a solid object. It waves and waxes and wanes. It's not solid. How could you possibly walk on it? And they also say that the moon reflects the light of the sun when it does not. The moon has its own light. The moon's light is putrefactic. The sun's light is antiseptic. You cannot reflect the light of something that does not have the same characteristics of the light you reflect. So we're lied to about that too. The sun has its own light. The moon has its own light. The moon is not a solid object. It's vaporous. Nobody knows what the moon is made of, but it waxes and wanes in shape and size and everything. And nobody has ever seen both sides of the moon because nobody's ever been there. There's no way anybody could walk on it. Nobody could land one of those aluminum foil landers on there and play golf on it. That's ridiculous. Like Dan said, once watch that movie, Capricorn 1. It'll tell you all about it. I'll yield.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeremiah. You got your hand up.
Yeah, I'd just add regarding the moon and something that even growing up I always thought made no sense. Well, we'll go with what occurred a couple days ago with the eclipse. They claim it's the moon moving in front of the sun that's blocking it out. Well, my problem with that story is when the eclipse starts, you don't see the moon anywhere in the sky, yet on any other given day, you could see the moon clearly in the sky with the sun. So why can't you see the moon in the sky going in front of the sun? All you see is the sun turning black. That's it. You don't see the moon going in front of it. The moon is invisible, I guess, until it goes in front of the sun. But at that same day, if it's a clear sky, I bet you could probably still see the moon on the other side. It looks kind of like ether real. And then the sun on the other side. Completely in the day.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You're right.
Yep, that's a good point. You can see on a clear day, you can see the moon up in the sky during the day, actually. And yet during the eclipse, you don't see it anywhere near the sun. So that's a good point. It would be very interesting to find out what's really going on. I wonder if anybody down here knows. If they do, they're keeping it a secret.
Well, I've heard...
Oh, go ahead, Jeremiah.
I was just going to say, I've heard a few theories. One theory is that there's another object up with the sun revolving around it or whatever, which to me, again, makes no sense because you don't see it any other time except for once every 300 years or however often a total solar eclipse happens. So to me, that makes no sense. The other one is that when it turns black, it is, at least in like mythology, like Norse mythology and stuff, they called it the Black Sun. Like it was a separate type of entity to them that just formed in the same space as the sun. What actually happens, I really don't know. But I just know in ancient cultures, they always called it the Black Sun. And I'm not sure if Scripture talks of the Black Sun. I do know Scripture talks of God turning the sun black and darkening the sun.
Right.
There's things up there we don't know about. There's even things called black orbs that have been seen from an airplane. They have never identified them, but they think that that's what causes eclipse. But nobody's ever proved it.
Yep. All we know is they lie. That much we do know, okay? So, and we know something's going on up there, but what's actually going on, who knows? That's why I don't get too excited about it. I don't try to watch it. I don't follow it. I don't even care, to be quite honest, because the Father put it up there. Whatever's going on is what he wants, and I really don't have much interest in the hoopla and all the other bullcrap that they throw around us at these times. You got to remember, even in ancient times, people would take things like eclipses and all and claim it was the gods showing their favoritism towards whoever the potentate was at the time or the high priest or whoever. And again, what was it for? To keep the public mesmerized and to worship the people in charge. And the same thing's going on today. They want us to think we have to have them. We have climate problems. We have global warming. We have climate change. We have wars. We have all this stuff. Everything is to make us believe that we need government, that we need these total jackasses that are running the show. We need them. And the truth of the matter is, no, we don't. We don't need them. They cause all of the problems that we have, all of them. So if they don't exist, guess what? The problems go away. And we can solve the local problems locally, just as we've done for thousands of years. We don't need large man-made central governments to muck up the works. We don't need large central religions to muck up the works. And we sure as hell don't need large central banks to muck up the works. It's all communistic, it's all Zionist, and it's all anti-Christ. We don't need any of it. We just need to have clear heads, stay healthy, stay in touch with the Father, do things his way, and everything works out just fine. You just have to obey the Father and his simple rules. His rules are not that hard to follow because he created the laws of nature, and his laws fit in with the laws of nature. So if mankind wants to get along with nature and prosper, then he'll be fine. It's when you try to step out, when you try to hybridize food, hybridize your vineyards, hybridize your children, or mix man's law and God's law and claim that man's law is circumvents and is superior to God's law. That's when you muck up the natural order. And that's what he hates. That's why he said, I'm going to destroy those who destroy the earth. It means everybody involved in any of those things, because you're going against the natural order. If you're doing that, he's going to destroy you. That's what's coming next. That's what the whole idea of this radio show was, is a harbinger to let people know judgment's coming. You can't mock the living God and get away with it. Not forever. It's coming. Some people, they're already seeing judgment in this day and age. I've had friends and relatives die already by the hand of the medical mafia. So some people have already paid the price for what these assholes are doing, okay? But it's going to get far worse. And people need to step out of it and come away from Babylon. Stop participating in Babylon. Get out of it. Are you? Go ahead, Jeremiah.
I just wanted to correct you on one point, and that is we do need centralized religion, with exception of it will be centered around Yahweh.
Oh, technical, technical, technical. Okay, you got me there. Okay. I meant man-made centralized religion, but I didn't say that, so you got me. All right. Of course, Yahweh's law will be centralized and universal, so that's true.
Well, we have a choice between 25 million of man's laws or 10 of Yahweh's.
Well, actually, I like the guy that said you can basically boil the Bible's laws down to one thing: do no harm. If you think about it, everything Yahweh tells us to do does not create harm. Everything you do against his law is harmful, either to you, to your family, to the earth, to the birds, to the bees, to the vegetation, to the skies, to the water, to the air. If you go against his rules, it'll be harmful. If you follow his rules, then you do no harm.
Well, according to the Ten Commandments, the first five commandments are worshiping God, Yahweh. The last five are being good to your fellow man. And that's,
right.
I think it's in Matthew 22, I'm not sure. It says all of the commandments hang on two things: love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's all. It goes back to the same thing: do no harm, love God, do no harm. And that's
love
all
God
we have
do
to
no
do.
Harm. Right.
It's that
exactly.
easy.
That's exactly right. Yep. Man-made institutions are the cause of all the trouble because they're always greedy. Governments want more power, more taxes, more laws, more government employees, bankers, more profits, corporations, more profits. They're never happy with what they've got. Did you ever notice that? That's like some of these outfits like credit card companies and even the people that donor box that I have my donation stuff set through. Each person along the way takes a piece of what you've got. And what they do is when you start out, they only take maybe 1%. So the other guy takes 1%. You only lose 2%. But then the next thing you know, they want 2% each. So now you've lost 4%. Then they want 3% each. Now you've lost 6%. It's always by gradualism because there's Jews involved, obviously. So they start out with something very reasonable, and so everybody jumps on board. And once everybody jumps on board, they start incrementally increasing the piece that they take because they're never happy. I mean, they're not doing anything. It's all being run by computers and networks, so there's actually no physical efforts on their part. So how much do you have to make? But it's never enough, and it's never justified. It's always, well, because we can do it. Okay, a case in point, I worked at the Perry Nuclear Power Plant, which is near Cleveland, Ohio, years ago. And the local town passed an ordinance to tax all the people working at the plant. So we went to the town meeting, me and my crew, because we were going to protest it. It's like, well, wait a minute, for years you haven't collected anything because you didn't need it, because the power company supplied the local people with cable TV, free roads, everything, because the power plant was there. So why all of a sudden now do you need to tax us? So we went to the meeting, and we found out that the mayor wanted it, and when somebody confronted the mayor, he said, well, because somebody from the state came by and told me I could do it. So this is the mindset of the people that we call our public servants. Some jerk-off from the state in Ohio went to the mayor and said, how come you're not taxing them? He didn't say anything about, well, do you need more money, or, you know, are your people destitute, or no, that was never part of the question. It was just simply, why aren't you taxing them? And the mayor said to the other guy, well, how much can I tax them? Oh, well, you can take up to 1.5%. So the very next thing you know, the mayor has put in that we are being taxed 1.5% along with the state tax, the federal tax, the FICA, and everything else, simply because the mayor talked to some idiot from the state and said that you could do it. That's the mindset. And that was back in the 1980s. How much worse do you think it is now, 40 years later? Okay? That's who we're up against. These people don't give a damn about who they hurt. They don't operate off logic. They don't operate off of true need. It's simply, I can do it. I want to do it because I can do it. And then you go to the town meeting where they're talking about all this, thousands upon thousands of dollars now every week they're going to get from stripping it out of the workers at the power plant. And they sounded like Blackbeard the pirate and his pirateers on the boat talking about the latest Spanish galley that they just stripped of all its gold. And its, that's what they sounded like. Oh, let's put in a playground. Let's do this. Let's expand that. Nothing was necessary. It was all... It was all stuff that they could just get away with. Go ahead, Ella.
Okay, well, I removed my hand for... Okay, well, I didn't get on it. Hold on a minute. Okay, what I wanted to say is what you're talking about is the old saying, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And government started out very simply with just simple men getting together every time, you know, Congress got together to see that everything was running good. And then nepotism came in where somebody's uncle or brother-in-law needed a job. So they set a little office up for land management or something. And they put a guy in there saying, you just manage this land and see what you can do with it. So him being a hammer and everything looks like a nail, he goes in there and makes all the rules where everything goes in his department that he has to make everything have to do with land and taxes and all that. And the same thing with the police department. They're all police officers or law keepers. So everything, you know, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. You're going to go around looking for nails to bang. So every department that they have in Washington is a separate little hammer after their individual nails to make themselves all important, the way the whole business works. And it's never ending. It's always going to get bigger. It's never going to get smaller.
Right. It's out of control because the enemy has crept in and basically figured out how to circumvent all of the checks and balances that the founding fathers put in the original documents. Okay. The jury trial has been turned upside down. The court system's upside down. Everything is upside down, just like the scripture says. Evil would be called good and good would be called evil. That's what we're living in right now. Nothing is being run the way it was originally designed, and that's why things are not working. And they're not going to until somebody stands up and takes the bull by the horns and says, look, we're going back. I've had, over the years, that when I go to public addresses and then when I had the radio show, people for years and years said, Dan, it's never going to go back. I said, really? Then what do you think was said to the people that founded this country? I'm sure they thought, well, nothing's ever going to upset this. And yet the communists and Zionists came in and have turned everything upside down on its head. Have they not? So why can't we turn it back right side up? The answer is, of course we can. We are many, they are few. We are powerful, they are weak because they are morally corrupt. All right? It just takes a consensus on our part and everybody agreeing to get behind a leader and go forward and get the job done. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Because once a spark is ignited towards fixing this thing, it's going to go off like a conflagration. It's going to go off like a forest fire. Because the people have had enough. There's all kinds of signs popping up everywhere that people are fed up with this garbage that's going on. So all they got to see is a spark, just like Lexington was the spark for a revolution that got this country started. Okay, the colonists were angry for over 150 years prior to that spark. They were angry about what was being done to them. So things take time, and we have been under the heel of this secret cabal that's been operating in the United States and around the world. They've been there for a long time, and things have finally reached the apex, and now it's only going to take a spark. And maybe it's going to be a divine spark, but it'll be a spark. And it, just like Obadiah, verse 18 says, Jacob and Joseph will become a flame and a fire. And they will burn hotly until the enemy is consumed. That's exactly what the Obadiah says. It's also what Ezekiel in chapter 25 says. And you could even say that Malachi in chapters 3 and 4 say basically the same thing. Revelation speaks of it when it says that Babylon will burn in a short period of time. All these things talk about when the righteous men stand up and say, no more. No more. We're not going to accept the criminal demonic behavior that's going on right now. This is insane. Insane. Okay, I yield. Anything else before we run out of time here? I was getting background noises coming through, Jeffrey. I had to mute you, so if you have something, if you would, raise your hand. Use the buttons there to raise your hand. Anybody else? Okay, maybe we've covered everything we need to tonight. The main thing is that everybody stays on their toes, because you don't know what these people are capable of. Might try to pull next. Could be anything. So now is definitely a time to stay faithful and stay in prayer with the Father. Reach out to Him in prayer and listen to the Holy Spirit, as He's your counselor, your guide at this time. And we'll get through this. That's what we're here for. Each and every one of us is here for a purpose and a reason. We are eternal beings, and we are here. We must have volunteered to come here and come here at this time, critical time in the history of this world. So we'll accomplish what we were put here to do, and then we'll enjoy the time together on the other side once it's all done. Dear Heavenly Father, we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank You for this time of fellowship. We thank You for being with us and putting up with us. A lot of times we get fearful and doubtful and show a lack of faith, and yet You still stay true to us, no matter how despicable we act sometimes. We repent of that, and we're sorry. We ask Your forgiveness, and we just hope that You would be with us and give us strength and good discernment as we go forward, so that we can be lighthouses for those around us in the dark and show people the way. So, again, be with us and guide us in all that we say and do, to Thy glory and Thy kingdom. And we ask for You to protect us from our enemies. And we ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.